The big question is this: how does a beauty professional who is amazing at their service actually charge what they're worth and avoid attracting clients that are a pain in the butt? How do they become the go-to expert in their space and get their creativity and ideas shared with others so they can build their following without being stuck behind the chair or in their salon?
Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers.
My name is Jordan.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to the Real Beauty Bosses podcast.
All right, what's going on, Real Beauty Bosses? Jordan back here with another Real Beauty Bosses podcast. Can't talk today. Today I have a very special individual. Her name is Sirocco Stout. She actually lives here locally with me here in the Arizona area. But Sirocco, actually, she has an amazing story, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. Today we're going to be talking about how to retain clients and prove your value, prove your worth, so that they keep coming back and you build those lifetime clients that you love and that love you, right? But interesting background on Sirocco. So she took a leap of faith into the lash extension business before it was even a thing. Lash extensions didn't really exist at the time, you told me, right? But you took the leap of faith, and a couple of years in, you were booked three years out in advance and built an incredible business, but also, influence and a following for yourself. So I'll go ahead and let you properly introduce yourself. Let us get to know you, who you are, what you do, why we should care. And we'll get into dropping some bombs on this podcast today. Sound good?
Fantastic. So my name is Sirocco, and I have always loved makeup and waxing and tinting. And I had been doing that since I was probably in sixth grade. So I've had some botched jobs on myself. I learned the hard way. And so I didn't realize that everything that I was doing then would be my job now. I had no clue whatsoever. I went through school thinking that I would maybe be a surgeon or a fashion designer or interior designer. Mm-hmm. And when I met my husband in college, we decided to leave everything and go to LA. And during that time, I realized that living by the beach was amazing. Mm-hmm. We did some television stuff. And that was the moment I realized I needed to go back to college. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was going to be doing. And I was going through the Career Center trying to figure out what job I was going to choose.
Yeah.
And I read on the board aesthetics, mm-hmm. and waxing and facials and mm-hmm. makeup and eyelashes. And at that time it was like strip lashes. It wasn't lash extensions. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away that I could get paid to do what I loved my whole entire life.
Yeah. That's the dream, right?
That is the dream. So I ended up signing up for class. It was at Santa Monica College. And I finished the courses in about 8 months. And during that time, I crushed it. I had, even though it was a school, I had lines of women waiting for me to do their services, which
really?
At the time I didn't realize like that was a really good thing. Yeah, you know, I just thought they were there for a cheap service.
Yeah.
And
was it just because of the service itself? Like because it was so fresh and new that happened for you?
Well, I think because I was a student, mm-hmm. people were going to the school for student work. Well, I'd been doing this stuff for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just trying to get my license, you know?
Yeah.
And so women would come in and actually get the cluster lashes on, and I could put them on 2 minutes in mm-hmm. and out. They were used to 30 minutes, and they were all wonky.
A quick turnaround time.
Yes.
2 minutes.
Yes. I loved it though. So as soon as I got my California license, we were born and raised in Tucson. So we decided to get married, have mm-hmm. children, and get a job. And we moved back to Tucson. And that's when I worked for a salon there. And awesome. Lash extensions didn't exist there, but we were doing facials and waxing and peels. And I had already dabbled with lash extensions when I went to a convention while I was going to school at Santa Monica. And I had this little bag of lashes, different sizes, different thicknesses, and a glue. And I saw a man put about 20 lashes on a woman. Mm-hmm. And she opened her eyes and she looked amazing. She looked gorgeous. And I started just kind of focusing more on that than anything else.
Yeah.
And so when I came back to Tucson, it didn't really exist. I could do makeup and that was great. And once a large lash company came into town, I started doing a couple clients here and there, and it was this secret society of women that were getting lash extensions. Yeah, you know, during that time, women would never share their secret.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty interesting. I guess, like, how long ago was this that, like, lash extensions first, like, surfaced? Because, like...
Okay. In Tucson, it was probably around 2005, 2006. Okay. When I was in California, it was about 2003, 2004. So it was slowly moving inward. Okay. And back in, so in 2005, 2006, women would come in and they would get this service. It's a luxury service. It's not cheap. Mm-hmm. And they would go see their girlfriends for brunch, and the women would say, "Oh, you look fantastic." And she would just say, "Oh, thanks." You know, mm-hmm. she would never give up her secret. So it was hard to build clientele until more and more people started getting it. And people were like, "Lash extension, what?"
Yeah.
And I was quick. Mm-hmm. I had great work. I was clean. I had been playing with it in California. So it wasn't new to me. It was, mm-hmm. I had a knack for it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I just started trying different things and making my environment that I worked in easier for me to apply lashes, just making it simple. And because it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set up the same way, I started developing a technique that made isolation a breeze. Two things are really, really important with lash extensions. It's your applying the lash on the lashes, so you want clean work, mm-hmm. and you want everything going in the right direction.
Right.
But you also don't want natural lashes sticking together. And the way I started doing lashes is I would separate them in a way that I could just move really, really quick.
Yeah.
Dry them real fast and move to another section. And I was able to get women in and out. And people able to pay for this service were working women. They didn't have time for a 7-hour service.
Absolutely. And I want to like touch on that too, because like a big thing for me, like since I've even been in this space and like being a client of some of the people we work with, like one of the most important things for me is like speed. Like, can I get this done like quickly? And can I look amazing afterwards? Right. So like a lot of people in the industry, like honestly think like the more time I spend with my clients is better, but sometimes like that's not what they want. Right. And like,
some clients it is,
yeah.
For a lot of clients it's not.
Right, 100%. And that's like, that leads right into today's topic too. Like you got to make sure to communicate properly to find out what's important to people. But I didn't mean to interrupt your story. I just, that like clicked something in my head that's like, you know, I can see how that definitely boosted you up. You were quick, you were fast, you had amazing result afterwards, right?
And that, I know I sometimes get backlash and I hear often, there's no way to do lashes in this amount of time. Mm-hmm. Actually, there is, and I can prove it because I've done it. There are amazing technicians out there that have beautiful jobs.
Yeah.
I am a lifestyle lash artist for working women who, or not even necessarily working women, just busy women. Moms are busy. They don't have 3 hours for a nanny to watch their child while they come in to get their lashes.
Sit there on their phone the whole time.
That wasn't my clientele.
Yeah.
So word of mouth started happening with just like, oh, go see her. She'll get you your feels done in an hour.
Right.
Because of the way I would lash and the technique that I use, I was able to do that. And like I said, the whole thing is like, you really have to have clean work, because if you damage people's eyelashes, you're not going to have eyelashes to lash.
Yeah, so, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a bad, like, you can't make a bad first impression when it comes to that. Because that's something people see every day, right? Like,
yes, 100%. And then, so I started getting a lot of phone calls on clients that were having problems with, I don't know. Like one client that I had in particular, she had tremors, which if you think of tremors, which is your body movement, mm-hmm. and lash extensions, they don't really go together. But I learned real fast that if I could get her in and master her, every normal client was going to be really easy after that.
Yeah.
And so she came in and she was really hard, and it did take me a little bit longer than the average person, but I got her rhythm. And I started realizing like, okay, like I just have to do it a little bit different, but it worked out. And then the next person that laid down who fell asleep, I wasn't going to complain about that because that was so easy.
Yeah. Do the hard thing so the easy stuff gets easier. Right? 100%.
So I would always welcome, like if I had technicians that were saying that they would have issues, I'd say, give it to me. Let me figure it out.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved trying to problem solve for people because people don't want to hear the word no.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was always like, come on in, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
And the truth is lash extensions aren't for everyone, but as an esthetician, I offer other services. So yeah. I was able to make someone who was coming in for, let's say, lash extensions and had an allergy or an allergic reaction who was devastated that they couldn't have it and had been turned away by multiple places. I gave them a solution with, let's try a lash lift and a tint. This is what it's going to be. This is what it's going to feel like. It's going to be better than natural. Mm-hmm. It's going to boost the way that your eyes look because you can't have lash extensions. And that's totally fine. And women loved it because I gave them solutions.
Yeah.
It wasn't just no.
Yeah. I love that. That like, let's touch on that too, because like no matter what industry or what business you're in, even if it's outside of the beauty industry, like you're solving a specific problem for a specific person, right? So the more you can get clear on what that problem is and what the value of solving that problem is, it's going to allow you to, you know, really serve your clients to the highest level, but also charge what you're worth. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's like one of the biggest gaps that I see happens a lot of time in the industry, especially is like people are just sitting waiting for people to come to them for their service rather than for who they are and what problem they solve. Right. So I love that you immediately, like I wrote down, you found out who your market was and you got to know that person. Right. And
yes.
Like knowing your market is super important. Like no matter what industry you're in your area, it's going to be different. Like, we always share this story about, this chiropractor that one of our business coaches worked with. And he worked with this chiropractor in Miami. And personal question to you, who do you think would be like the most common person to come into a chiropractic clinic? What is it, male or a female, or what age range? Who would you think is the most ideal to come in?
Oh,
sorry to put you on the spot.
No, you know, I think like moms. I think women don't take care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really good guess. And this will be funny when I tell you the answer, but basically what he did for this client, who's a chiropractor in Miami, he wanted to find out like, what do people in Miami like actually look for when they come to a chiropractor? So he ran this like customer research survey that he sent out to the whole town of Miami. They ran some ads and stuff behind it to get it out there. And they basically just asked like, you know, what's your number one goal when it comes to chiropractic work, you know, needs, fears, wants, desires, just a little survey. Right. And basically what they found was that most of the people who were responding in that area were actually post-pregnancy women and moms, right? So you got it right. But what I would think is maybe like someone like me who like maybe played a lot of sports or like, you know, is pretty active, or an older, you know, father or something who works on his feet all day, has like a cramped back. But they found in their area that their market should be the post-pregnancy mom. And so what they did is they took all of their marketing, all their advertising, and all their messaging in that area, pushed it all into post-pregnancy moms, $1 million business, like just from that, right?
I so like, totally get that. Mm-hmm. And that's similar to what I was doing. I was having working women go back to their office and be like, move your lunch to 9 o'clock because she can get you in and get you out and you can be back by 10:15.
Exactly. Like, it's crazy. Like, once you identify like who your ideal target audience or target market is, it makes everything a hell of a lot easier, right?
100%.
Like, I love that. Like, so you found that your ideal audience is going to be these busy, hardworking moms who want quick service and a good result. And they also want to feel like, you know, they want to be able to trust you and work closely with you too, right?
Yeah, they want longevity, they want quality, and they want it to be fast. And
perfect.
Across the board, every lash technician is searching for quick. And you can be quicker and still be good.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Exactly. Especially if you know that that's what you need to do, you can make sure that you can fill the slot, right? And I also think like what's interesting about knowing your market and your ideal client, which is the number one thing that you have to focus on, is working with people not only who are going to benefit like you and your business and who you like working with, but are also going to be like people that you'd like to duplicate more of, right? So like when you get clear on knowing your market and working with more of these people, who do you think they're friends with, right? Like more people like them, right? So when this word of mouth started to happen, I can see exactly like when you saw these problems for these people who first came in start to spread like wildfire from there, right?
It did. And, you know, each person, now I am not everyone's technician.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't serve everyone and I'm not everyone's perfect fit. So a couple things went into play with that. I knew my competition and I used them as my community to be able to feed them clients too. Because if they weren't a client for me, I wanted to give them a solution of finding another technician. And a lot of people don't know where to look. So I would be willing to be like, here, try this person. Maybe better for
I
your
love
time.
That. Yeah.
It may be better for the style or personality. You know, you
absolutely
mesh. And I learned that real fast that I never took offense when someone didn't want to see me. And people recognize that and they would actually come back and use me as their go-to if they couldn't get into their technician because I never made them feel guilty.
Exactly. This is so good. This is literally so much of what we have discovered and also tell people is it's okay. Just to give you our experience with that too, when we, help businesses or beauty businesses or whatever generate, more clients and more leads and build their business. If we find someone who's maybe better to work with a different type of person who does similar stuff that we do, because it's not in line of our focus, that's okay to send people down the street if it's going to solve their problem in a better way, or if it's going to protect me from working with someone that one, I can't solve their problem to the highest level, or two, maybe they're just not a good fit with me. Right.
Clients respect that.
Yeah.
And they love it. And one thing that I've heard from clients when they've seen other technicians in the past or whatever is feeling like they're held hostage and they didn't know how to get away.
Yeah.
And also having a technician while they're getting their service talking bad about other technicians. No one wants to be in that spot. So
just
zip it and find who your tribe is. And make them successful because they're going to make you successful because you know what? If they get a problem client, guess who they're going to call? They're going to call me because I'm like, let's figure this out. Let's find out if I'm not the fit, you're not the fit. Let's keep going through a Rolodex to find out who's going to be the best and
absolutely
what's the problem.
This is so good. Anyone who's listening to this should probably rewind and listen back to that again. This is gold bombs being dropped right now. Cause I think when you just said I'm not everyone's technician, No one's willing to say that, or most people aren't, right? But it's
true.
They're
afraid to. It's a failure, and it's not. And this, I've known that for a really long time because I think clients have felt really comfortable being really honest with me.
Yeah.
And open. And so I've heard a lot of them tell me these things. And so if they're telling me it, it must be the truth. It's not they're all lying to me.
Yeah.
But I also have just noticed it's incredibly valuable to them to they can go to other people, but you're there. But I noticed I moved up to Tempe recently and it was a shock. We didn't know where we were going to go. We never knew when we were going to move, but we knew that it was a possibility. It could have been 10 years. It could be 5 years, but it literally was 45 days. And, once I revamped my position and my job, I'm only going to be servicing 25 women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people look at their books, they can't service 5 million people.
Right.
They'll be working so many hours, they'll never live a fulfilling life unless that's what they want to do.
It's impossible.
So
we were just talking about that today. You got to know your numbers and you got to know what you're capable of doing, but also what's going to get you to where you want to be. Because at the end of the day, if you don't take care of yourself, you're just, not going to be able to serve your clients to the highest level, right?
And I had that multiple times of just learning lessons of what was most important to me.
Absolutely. I love that. This is already insanely valuable. This is since we've been in the industry, these are just problems that everyone has. So you touching base on your realization of how this all happened in your own experience is so valuable. You're not everyone's technician. No one is everyone's stylist or beautician, whatever. You need to know who you can serve, who's going to be your ideal client and someone that you love to hang out with and be a friend with, because then you're going to actually attract more people.
Weight off their shoulders, they will be a happier technician and they'll share. And people will show will share back. Absolutely.
Exactly. And the one thing too is when you said even knowing your competition, don't treat them like competition. Go make friends with other people who do what you do. Yes, exactly.
They're going to have your back when you have a problem and you need help and you've been nice to them. Guess what? They're going to help you too. And I have found over and over and over that you treat people with kindness and they will treat you back with kindness.
100%. Like, you know, your competition, we have an interesting story about this. We had, your competition can be your biggest asset. They can be your biggest referral source. They can be your biggest team member, right? Find a way to turn competition into partners, right? So we had, when we first got started into business in general, what we were learning is how to generate leads mainly through Facebook. That's where we first got started, right? Obviously things have evolved much more since, but that was like our route. Like, we're going to help businesses get more leads and get more business through Facebook. That's what we're the best at. That's what we're going to do, right? And we got connected with another company who did like surface level. We do like marketing and like lead generation stuff, but we do like more like the Google side. And like, this is why this is all best for you. And when I was first growing and expanding, I decided like, hey, I'm going to go talk to that guy there and I'm going to see what he does and how he works with his clients and stuff like that. And I got to talking to them. And at first, like, you would think we'd be competition because we're both trying to like, you know, solve the same problem of like surface level marketing. Right. But we got in touch and like, we started like vibing really well because we speak the same language. And we quickly found out that like our services don't really, you know, they don't have to be separate. Like, let's find a way to push them together. And we started working together, and the next 3 months of us working together, we generate over $30,000 a month consistently, like that we were doing together because we channeled each other's partnerships, right?
More people would realize what a true team actually is. And that's not someone that you're sharing money with, but just like your team that you reach out to. Once they take this being scared that they're going to take your client. You know what? If your client wants to go to them, let them go to them.
Right.
Like, let them go. Because you know what? Like, it's all going to come back around. You know, it's karma, you know?
Yeah.
Be happy for them. I wouldn't want a client to, if I found out a client was seeing me because they felt like they had to because of me, that's the last thing I want to know. Like, that would be terrible.
I
want clients to see me because they love what I give them. They love the way I make them feel. They love everything. And if that goes away, like, okay, let's figure it out. No hard feelings. If you need me, I'm still here for you. And I've said that multiple times, and it's amazing. You know, the first time that I said, I'm like, oh God, they probably hate me forever. But no, they call me back up and say, hey, my girl's not here. I know you do a good job. Can you get me in? Absolutely. I'd love to see you.
Yeah, 100%. And like, the thing is too, like, you know, when you have other services and stuff, maybe, you know, you may provide the same service, but maybe that person comes to you for this service instead of this one. Like that's when I think, additional services and things like that can come better into play. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that today, like why it's so important to get really good at one thing and specialize into your mastery rather than like add on a bunch of services. Cause I found that that's what a lot of people in the industry do, is like, the more services I cover, the more people will want to come to me cause I can provide everything. Right. And it doesn't really work that way. Like, it's better to pick the one thing you're good at. And if people need more, it's best to find those referral partners to share the load of work, but also at the same time, like, it's a big community, like you said, like your tribe is starting to be built. Right. And so maybe talk a little bit about that. You said you did other services at the same time too, right?
Yes. So
was it something that you did completely separate, or did you find a way to push that all into one direction and one
out? So I started getting away from facials just because of the time commitment for clients. Mm-hmm. And I started figuring out I can do a client, and let's say we'll just go with lash fills. We'll make it simple. Cool. I could get a client in for their lash fill, and I could up my hourly rate with them by giving them a brow wax, a brow tint, a lip wax, an underarm while they're drying. Mm-hmm. So I didn't take away from their service. I was able to add on with dollars, but like, that was just elevating my service I was giving them. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were going on vacation, and again, this is for someone who's like, I got to go back to work, or I got to go pick up the kids, but I'm going on vacation in 3 hours and I forgot to shave everything.
Yeah.
Like, come on in. I got you, girl. Like,
quit.
So I used it more as an add on, but if someone was looking for a facial and that was relaxing, yeah, I could do that. But I got to a point where I had zero openings for years. I had standing clients that were never going to give up their spot unless they moved away. That's and amazing. I had a list of people waiting for those spots. So I would say, you know what? I love this technician. Go see her. She's going to make you feel amazing. Arrive a little bit early, get some tea, enjoy her. She's going to give you an amazing facial. Mm-hmm. And guess who that woman would send for her lash clients? And, you know, they'd be like, okay, you have a question? Call her up. She has the answer.
Absolutely. You know? I love that. Okay. So I really want to touch more too on because it sounds like all this happened pretty fast, that this started really taking off for you. So let's maybe go back. So when you really started to crank things into gear, was it after you moved out here to Arizona and you started fresh from scratch?
So I started working, I ended up applying and being hired at a large salon in Tucson, and I worked there for 10 years. And it took me a really long time to, so I was able to build my clientele there, and I was half full until people tried me once. And oftentimes clients would see me because someone would call out sick. And then all of a sudden they're like, this is what this service is supposed to be like. I like this.
Yeah, I'm in.
And they were, and they would not only, book their next service, I would make them a standing. And I was listening to your podcast on just the awkwardness of making an appointment for a client.
Yeah.
Just do it. I had every client booked as a standing. The first time I would be like, all right, well, if you want an appointment, this works for you. And I would say to them, and people can use this, and it totally works because it's real life. Mm-hmm. People have lives. And it's generally the same every week, every month, every year. It doesn't really change so much. I would tell clients, you know what? Let's go ahead and book you. Does this time work for you? Does this day work for you? I'm going to go ahead and make this a standing for you. I'm going to see you every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And they're like, oh, but what if I have a vacation? Don't worry about it. If you have a vacation or something comes up, contact me. I will make sure that is taken care of for you. Don't let go of your standings, because you may call and that time may not be available because someone else has taken it. Well, let me tell you, women do not want other people to take their time slots.
Yes.
They don't.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
But they also know, well, if I can't get it at that time, that means that I can't get it.
Exactly.
At that time. So they would take it, but I would take the stress off. You know what? If something changes, we'll look at it. 4th of July, you know what? I'm going to take care of that. Let's move it to the Monday instead. Oh, thank you so much. But I was really, I'm really, really good about looking at calendars and doing silent service. And what silent service is thinking about issues before the client is even having to think of it. I have the answers and I have a solution. And the solution is the biggest thing. Because you know what? I give that, let's say 4th of July, their appointment landed on, I gave them a Monday, they were happy with it. I also say, you know what, if that Monday doesn't work out for you, even a week before, and you decide you want to go to California, I'll take care of you. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. But they always knew that when I said don't worry, I was going to take care of it. I never let anyone down. So my word was my word, and they knew it. They trusted me.
Absolutely. We could do a whole masterclass on what you just said, how to get people, to come back literally on the first time you see them. That is huge. And it all comes down to two, like you said, know what people are going to say before they say it, right? That comes by knowing your market and really getting clear on, is the regular type of problems or situations that this person is going to be in, and how can I cater to that and still continue to solve their problem, right? Because the worst case scenario for what you do or what anyone else does is that someone comes in your chair one time and doesn't stick with you, right? Doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't even make sense to me. And again, I hope that no one sees me more than once if they don't like me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if they want to see me, I want them to come, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want us to mesh too. Mm-hmm. And if it's not cohesive, then it's just not going to work, and it's going to make hiccups along the way. I don't need a hiccup every 2 weeks.
Right.
Let's make it smooth.
How are you supposed to have control of your business or your life if you have constantly shit's going haywire, right? It's nuts.
I always had control over that. I was always not really it's easy to predict things. I know when holidays are, there's a calendar, I know kind of when my family's birthdays are, and I know when we would go on vacation. So I'd be proactive with a lot of the stuff that I would do. And, write things down. Clients talk. Oh, you know what? You mentioned that your sister's wedding is going to be coming up in 2 months. What date is that? Let's get this together. And if for someone that has openings on their books, that is the best opportunity to be like, your wedding's coming up. You mentioned that your mom thought about doing lashes a while ago. Let's do it. Right. And like, it's amazing when you tell people do it and not like him and haw about it. Guess what they do? They do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're hesitant, they're not going to believe you.
Yeah.
But if you're passionate about it and you're like, let's do it. Let's go. Let's do it.
Nike swish. Just do it.
Yep. Seriously.
I love that. Like, that is so, so valuable. Like, I don't know if you'd be interested in doing something like this, but like literally we could find a way to script what you just said and give that to people. Cause I literally think that alone would 10X people's beauty business. Like, it's so important.
I tell technicians this stuff all the time. I write it down when I left Tucson. Yeah. I wrote a little script on like, these are the things that I do. And like, this is what has made me successful. I can't say that I'm the best lash artist out there. Some people think I am, some people don't think I am, and that's totally okay. But I know that I was always busy and I made people happy and I loved what I did.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. You don't have to be like the best in the world at what you do if people still love you for who you are and you have that intimate relationship with people, right? Like that at the end of the day is the reason people come back to you and trust you and continue to refer people to you is because they love you, right? For who you are, not your service or what you're doing for them, right? Like that is just straight gold right there. Like it's so, so important. And I think like, when did you like start to really realize these patterns and how to apply these things? Did you come up with them on your own? Like what really allowed you to start doing this? Because like, I think for a lot of people, like how am I supposed to figure out how to solve these problems myself and do these things? How did you figure it all out?
So I realized that my schedule was taking over a lot. And since I worked for a place, I was commission only and I wasn't making a lot of money. In fact, I didn't make great money at all for as solid booked as I was, how much information I had. Often that. And so I didn't want to stay there longer than I had to, but I needed to take control of over all these people that were calling and saying, look, I'm a wait list now. So really every client that walks through your door, if you mesh and you really like dig them and they dig you, start saying, you know what, let's go ahead and do this every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And if anything pops up, we'll take care of it. We'll fix it. No problem. You know, if you take that off their shoulders that they don't have to worry about it, you'll take care of it.
Yeah.
They like it.
Yeah. So you just started to kind of learn that from your own trial and error, right? Like,
yes, because I started saying, okay, I can't come in any earlier. I can't stay any later. At this point I had children and I was just like, it was too much.
Yeah.
And I was overworked and underpaid and I didn't have family time. And that's when all of this like, into like, it really made me realize how important it was when I ended up jumping ship and working, being self-employed. And it was, again, what we talked about before, things just happen. Mm-hmm. This just happened and I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah.
Man, it was an eye opener.
That's crazy. And like, it's so interesting for you to kind of like share this journey and stuff too, because like, these are the thoughts that like, when it comes to knowing your market, like we've studied this and work with enough people now that like everyone goes through exactly what you've kind of shared with me, but information alone does not make things better, right? And I think like what set you aside is your ability to actually take action and actually.
And I think I had said before, like I'm a MacGyver, like I'll try all sorts of different things trying to find a solution because I am all about working smarter and not harder. And I'll do some kooky little things trying to figure it out because like none of us have answers and you never know what questions to ask to get the answers that you're looking for because you don't even know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I did a lot of trial and error, whether it was the technique I was using. I knew that I needed to put an eyelash extension on a lash. How was I going to do that the best and the quickest way?
Right.
So I tried a lot of different things and I found a way that worked really, really well. Same thing with clients. I needed my books full. I need to pay my bills. How was I going to get my, how can I feel calm when I go home to know that I had a full book waiting for me the following week? Well, guess what?
Yeah.
I took care of it and I booked people. I wasn't waiting for them to call me. I booked them before they left my room.
Yeah. Like you, and I, you use like that pain and that, those problems that you were suffering to push you forward rather than just sit there and complain about it, why things aren't the way you want to be. You took action. And I have this poster here that just fell down, but you did like whatever it takes is what this says.
So
whatever it takes when you want to solve your problem, right? Like you're desperate to live the life you want to live. And when you have kids involved and things like that, like they suffer if you don't do what needs to be done as well. So like, I love that. Like, you know, while you didn't have like the clear crystal roadmap of what was going to be the right solution, you continually tried things until you found what worked. Right. And I think like, In the day and age, like when maybe you were first getting started, like it's completely different to now when like, you know, you can listen to podcasts like these and like hear straight from the word of mouth of what you need to do. But if you don't do it, nothing will happen. Nothing will change. You'll still be stuck with where you're at. Right. So like anyone who needs help, like needs to either get in touch or rewind this and listen to what you just said, because I think it's so important. Like you don't have to have the crystal clear to do's. You just have to go do things until you figure it out. Right.
That YouTube thing that you heard me listening to when I called in, there is a point, first of all, you should post it somewhere because it has every message. And I had to listen to this when I...
I'll show it to the screen as well for those who are watching this on video.
I listened to this when I went to my girlfriend's salon and became a booth renter. I listened to this 12 times in a row, every single morning, every single night, because I didn't know what to do. And there's a quote that says you're waiting for someone else to do it for you. It's so true. How many technicians are waiting for the perfect opportunity to finally do something? Well, guess what? It's create the perfect opportunity. And when your client's in your chair, that's the perfect opportunity. And if that passes, it's when they're standing about walk out the door and you still have them. That's the perfect opportunity. There's no handbook. You hear about that. You know, when you become a parent, there's no handbook to be a parent. You know what? There is no handbook on telling you what the perfect opportunity is for whatever it is that you're doing, no matter what job it is.
Yeah.
You know, you just create it. And you know what? It might not work the first time. Try something different.
Exactly. And while we're talking about that, so the video is what? Best motivational video ever. Be phenomenal. 2018. By Motivation Grid. So I'll link that somewhere. Someone could go watch that, but I think it's super important. And in our first conversation, you actually told me, you know, there's no college course or degree that gives you permission, right? Like you have to give yourself permission.
That was a light bulb moment for me this year. So I'm going to go back. This is how I didn't realize at the time of me pre-booking clients and doing standings with clients and how it would set me up for success for when I ended up being a booth renter.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe in myself when I was a booth renter. It was a Thursday night. My girlfriend told me, oh yeah, so-and-so's looking at this room. I always had excuses on why I didn't want to do something because it was too hard. It was scary. I think that's more of anything. You don't have answers, so it's scary. And I don't really do scary things.
Yeah.
And she told me that someone else was looking at the room and I knew who that person was. And there was only one room left. And I was like, get me the hell out of here. I gotta do this. So right. I cried that next morning, crying, thinking I'm gonna have to call my employer and tell them what, like, I'm gonna quit. Like, I'm gonna give my 2 weeks. What am I gonna do? Like, I feel like such a failure. And what if I can't do this? So I'd listen to these quotes and it's so powerful. And so I was sitting about to walk in to give my 2 week notice at the corporate office. And I was trying to think of a story, essentially a lie on why I was leaving. And I had been there for 10 years. I just was stagnant. I had been stagnant for 7 years. I wasn't growing unless I wanted to work more hours, which is ultimately not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I going to say? And it was another like light bulb went off and I was like, I'm going to tell the truth. Like, and so I walked in and I said, I love you guys, but I love me and my family more. I have to do this.
Yeah.
And it has exponential growth. I don't know what the growth is, but I know it has exponential growth because whatever I put in it, I'm going to get back.
Right.
So they just said, well, good luck. No one else can do it. Like, you know, I was like, oh, that's not very good.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh my gosh, well, here's my 2 weeks. And they said, nope, you're done. And I was like, what? I've been such a great employee. Are you seriously? Yeah. I have 2 weeks. I fooled myself thinking that I'd have 2 weeks. And so what I thought was going to happen wasn't. And so someone had left the room And my phone started vibrating. And I was like, what the heck is this? Once I left and I was unemployed and I didn't have my 2 week to gather everything, my phone was blowing up so much that every client that I had, 95% of my clients followed me the next day. And two morals of the story, I had a great relationship with my clients. They wanted to follow me. It wasn't about where they were going. It was who they were seeing. Right. I was always told they only saw me because of where they were going. And that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was, I was surrounded by a group of amazing girls that I didn't have all my tools, and these technicians were doing the same job as me, and everyone pulled together so I could have my first client the following morning at the studio.
Yeah.
I didn't have to, like, I mean, of course I had to do some hard work and I was up really late that night and never slept.
Yeah.
But it was like, I had a full clientele and I had standing started immediately of me exiting because of my relationship and just them trusting me and knowing what I was all about. And I had also employees, or not employees because they weren't my employees. I had technicians that were my tribe.
Yes.
And they put it together. Yeah. So everything worked out. And that's why it's so important to know people and be friendly to people. Because even though they're your competition, they will have your back in these hard moments.
Absolutely. And like, that's all just comes down to also, like, you know, the loyalty and the connection and the intimacy that you provide and deliver between you and your clients and the people you work with and your competition. Like, the more you can, like, provide value and give and always be looking to, you know, create that real connection is what's going to allow you to, you know, make those big moves and those big plays in your life, because you know that you have people that will support you, right? Whether it be, you know, your clients or even your competition or just your friends and your family, right? Like relationships are everything to move you forward. You can't do it all on your own, right? Like, it's not even if you're a one woman show or one man show, like, you got to have the support of those around you, right?
And not to be afraid of asking for help and being kind to one another.
Yeah.
Because you just never know when you need the help and people will be there. And guess what? A lot of those people that helped me were people that were doing the same job as me.
Right.
And, you know, it just worked out really, really well. And like, I appreciate that. It. And they helped me and I helped them. And there's a lot of love.
Absolutely. And I think that's so, so important too. Like, even if you work at, you know, one of those suites where like you find a bunch of people who do exactly what you do, it doesn't matter. Like, you're all different and you all connect with different types of people and you all probably solve a different specific problem. So like, stop acting like everyone's competition and start working together to support each other. Right. Cause like, the more value you can give, the more people are willing to give back. And when you're in those moments where you're like, oh crap, like, I'm in a pretty rough spot right now. You know, if you treated things the right way, you made the right connections, you created that intimacy, like, there's going to be people there who are there to help you, right? I love that. What I do want to talk about, like, when it comes to finding your tribe and it comes to building your tribe, for those who are listening, like, what tips or what bits of information could you give for someone who is like trying to figure that out? Like, how do I create this tribe in this community around myself? How do I be almost like a leader? How does that work?
So don't be afraid to talk to people. And that's something that I am having to come out of my shell a little bit, because I've moved up to Tempe. I don't really know anyone. Mm-hmm. So my tribe is still in Tucson, but I need my Tempe tribe. And I found out, like, just going to social events and exchanging phone numbers and asking questions, it's amazing how welcoming people are. And sometimes, like, I will meet someone and they just don't mesh. That's just someone that I'm not going to have in my, I'll be friendly to them. Absolutely. Exactly. But if they're negative or if they're a Debbie Downer, like, that is not where I want to go. Like, I'll be here if you need me, but yeah, I'm not going to like let you into my life.
Right.
So when you find people, start a conversation. I'm starting like Instagram conversations. It's like online dating, but it's like Absolutely. Technicians that are doing things.
Yeah.
Ask them questions, or, hey, how did you do this? Like, this is a new city.
Absolutely. 100%.
Like, it doesn't even have to be about business. It's personal relationships.
And 100%.
Like, you know, like, you
this is our story too. Like, getting into doing this podcast, like, you know, we just went out and started conversations and started talking to people who were like way more successful in an industry where we were pretty new in. And like, here we are now. Like, it's crazy. Like, all you have to do is just suck it up and not give a crap and just go talk to people. And like, you know, you're going to talk to a lot of people who probably like maybe never want to see or talk to ever again, but sift through and find the gold nuggets. And like, those gold nuggets are like, change your life, right?
And I think people are so afraid of hitting those, the coal, you know, like, yeah. I don't want to have to deal with that. Well, you know what? You can go to the grocery store,
right,
and meet people who aren't nice, and you might meet someone who's very, very nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could be part of your path later on. You just never know. And communication is key, 100%, whether it's
absolutely
your technicians that are surrounding you. Things are changing, especially in this industry. It's so new, you know, like people have been getting their hair done forever. So they've gone through a lot of these like hurdles. For lash technicians, it's a little bit different. This is the beginning. Like,
absolutely.
These are coming up and like, we're fixing them as they go because it's brand new.
Right. And I think like the biggest thing too is like what holds people back is they're trying to live their life like this, talking to people where like everything's not behind the curtains. Like if I had this whole interview like this, not even looking at you or being able to see you, it'd be a lot harder than if I can see. Yeah. So like, stop like talking surface level and like talking about how is the weather? Oh, what shows are you watching? No one gives a shit about that stuff. Like, talk about the stuff that really matters. Like, get vulnerable and like be real and authentic, because that's what's going to ultimately like draw people towards you and make those real connections. Right.
So 100%. And when you say that, this is so true. And it's happened a million times. Mm-hmm. Me connecting with clients after I had children, and they'd be like, how is it? Isn't it so wonderful? And I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm like, I haven't slept in years.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten anything that wasn't processed.
Everything's great.
Terrible. Yeah. And they're like, I'm like, I can't wait for my parents to have my kids. I just need a night off. Yeah, they're like, I'm so glad that you said that. I feel so guilty.
Like, but if you try to hide it, it's like, you're just not being real. Like, even if it's like, you know, obviously you don't want to be like negative and talk about all the bad things that are going on, but if you do it in a way that's just like, you know, in a positive manner, oh, my kid kept me up all freaking night and I'm just so overworked and overwhelmed, but here I am, you know, just have a good attitude about the way that, you know, you talk about what's going on in your life, right?
Okay, so with talking with your clients, mm-hmm. and let's touch base on this.
Let's do it.
Briefly, I will say what's going on with me. Technicians need to cut it and ask mm-hmm. the client how they're doing. Yeah. It is killer. No client, well, I mean, there might be a few, but the prime clients that you want, they don't care about your drama. They don't care that the dad didn't pick up the kids, that the laundry's dirty. Oh, you haven't eaten lunch. Well, guess what? You should have planned better. Your client doesn't care.
Right, right.
And they love you, but shut up and let them relax.
Yeah.
Be a good listener.
Yeah.
Always need advice either.
Yeah.
Sometimes they need to listen, and sometimes they need a hug, and sometimes there's tears, and sometimes there's snores, and it's all good.
Yes, absolutely. Like, that's what building a relationship is being able to listen and like, you know, listening more than you talk. When people give you, you know, fuel to talk more about, you know, the similarities that you're having, perfect. Chat it all away, because then they'll actually be caring to listen because it affects them. Ultimately, people only care about themselves, right? So
it's so true. And when they're paying you for a service, technicians make the mistake that the client is privileged enough to see you you to see them. Mm-hmm. No, you're lucky that you have a client, because if you didn't have a client, you wouldn't have a job.
Absolutely. 100%. And how I like to really use this analogy while we're talking about it. Like, when you're having a conversation, imagine you got like, you know, two cups of water. I have one here, right? But like, the conversation should flow where like, you're talking, you're asking a little bit about someone, you give a little water there, and then you let them talk and talk about whatever problems they're having or whatever. And like, if you just dump everything that's going on with you on here, there's like no water in their cup, right? So like, you have to have that balance and flow of communication where you're like actually, you know, sharing and talking and then asking and then getting more back. And like, that's what builds real
asking.
Yes. Asking is the most important part. Right. But yes, 100%. Like, at the end of the day, like, even when I talked about the research and stuff like that and knowing your market, just ask people and let them vent to you and then go from there, right?
You'll be surprised on how much clients have to offer you. And I got a lot of my great business advice from clients. And since I had a lot of professional women, they were all about it. They wanted to tell me how they failed and how they didn't want me to fail and what I should do.
Yeah.
And it was, if I was always talking about myself and never let them talk, I would never have the advice that I've been given.
Exactly. And that's like so important. Like you shouldn't be in business if you're not in it to serve people and help people and listen and ask and then provide your value and your service. Right. And so as we're wrapping up here, like I wish we could keep going because we're really cooking right now. This little clinic we're putting on, right? This is awesome. And I'd love to talk more about
this.
I know, but this is just all so valuable. And like, I think we're gonna have to have you back on so we can go deeper. But let me just touch a couple more of the points that you said, and you can kind of give maybe just tidbits of information on how, you know, for those listening, how can they take this and apply it right now? So a lot of people tell us that, like, you know, I'm moving to a new area, I'm starting from scratch, and like, I'm looking to, you know, even if I had a successful client base somewhere else, like, what can I do right now that's going to help me build it as fast as possible? What would you say to those people?
Give free services.
Boom.
Word of mouth is going to just give them so much clientele. You service one person, how many friends do they have? You know what? Do that to 10 people. Guess what? You mm-hmm. just had 100 people that were just told how amazing that service is.
Right.
It'd be amazing. Give free Absolutely. Services. A lot of people won't do that. Do it.
Yeah. I mean, we did the same thing when we were 20 years old getting into business. Who the heck is going to trust us with something we've never done before? Who's going to trust us with us being so young? There's all these big obstacles and barriers in front of our way. How can we prove our worth and prove our value? We do it. We start by working for free, right?
Well, and so I recently moved up to Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even really looking for a salon space. It just happened. Mm-hmm. I found an incredible space, and I've been doing a couple of free services when I first started, just to be like, hey, I'm here. A lot of people didn't know that I knew my stuff, and people like to do research. So they would come in and be like, why are you doing this for free?
I just
saw you online.
Talks people.
You've been doing this for a long time. And I'm like,
yeah.
All I ask, will you please tell a couple of friends? And they're like, yeah, 100%. And
absolutely.
So this is my third week open, and I am slammed. I was only supposed to work 3 days my first week. I worked 7 days in a row.
Oh,
and that's just like word of mouth.
Yeah.
Talking to people.
That's how you create word of mouth. And like, it's so funny because this is how we got into this industry, is like, we worked with a microblading specialist, our first client ever with anything we'd ever done. And we started by running a structured like giveaway for her. And that one instance of that giveaway turned into like $5,000 in the first week by giving away. Like,
I can't even believe it. I heard that and I was like, what is this?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's why, like, it's not that hard. Like, if you have like the right structure and the right system to it, like, and you start by give, like, you're going to get a whole book of clients that are just like you and that you love, right? But start by like providing that value up front, right?
Well, and I have heard technicians that go, well, I mean, I've been doing it forever. And it's like, well, you're not worth anything if you're not seeing a client. So this is how you build clientele.
Yeah. Do it, whatever it takes. Like, I need to get this copied and send it to everyone who listens. Just whatever it takes, just
whatever
do it.
Whatever it takes. And that's a great way. Word of mouth, people trust their friends.
Yeah.
People trust their friends when they say, don't go see them. And people trust their friends, you got to go see them.
Exactly.
They text, they call. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
But you have to have that system to actually generate those referrals. And if you don't have a system to providing the value free, it just completely goes haywire and you end up just working your butt off for nothing, right?
Write everything down and have a system. You're absolutely right. I mm-hmm. live by those words. I write everything down. There was a quote that I heard that says, the biggest lie I ever told myself was that mm-hmm. I'd remember.
Yeah, it's so true.
Like,
I'm writing what we're talking about now so that later when I write about it and post it, like, I'll remember because I wrote it down. Right?
It's so true.
Exactly. And like, I think like at the end of the day, that's why it's so important to journal your days and figure out, like, you know, do brain dumps and stuff. We have to do that all the time. We got way too much stuff going on. Right. But that's perfect. Let's last couple of things here. I've got like 3 points. If you've got the time to touch a little bit on it. So you talked about silent service. Give me a little bit more information on what that is.
I love this. I learned this while I was going to school. My manager at a restaurant that I helped open in Los Angeles, they taught us silent service. And what silent service is that you are predicting what the person needs before they ask for it. And it is like wow moments.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as opening a door. Any Anyone loves a so, you know, a client is, you see that they're cold. Well, you get the blanket when they're in your room before they even have to ask you for it. You're already giving them a blanket. For me, I deal with women that have hot flashes. I can tell when they're having a hot flash. I put the fan on them before they tell me they're having a hot flash. I have them, I problem solve with what we touched base on scheduling. I know that it's really difficult for people to commit. I have people that generally say no to a standing, but I took the problem off of them and gave it to me saying, I'll take care of this. I know that the holidays are coming up. When your son graduates, let's go ahead and revise this. That's right. Not going to happen for another year. I already am like talking about things, but I'm always taking the problem off of them and taking it on me. And it's such a relief.
I love that.
Silent service can be absolutely anything. You find out that your client's pregnant, put her knees up. Learn about pregnancy and what they can and cannot do.
Absolutely.
You know, if you see that if you see that your client's like moving in their bed, they probably need to go pee. Why don't you ask them before we start? Why don't you go to
like
the restroom?
Reading their mind, right?
And it seems so silly, but it's amazing what that does for the client.
100%. It's like, it's so crazy how that stuff works. And like, I'll really briefly too, like I want to relay this. This is all customer and client service 101, right? Like if you can know what the person needs before they need it, like that person has fallen in love with you already, right? But interesting story. So like, have you ever stayed at like the Ritz-Carlton hotel or one of them? What they do, they keep track of everything you do at your stay so that next time you come, they make sure that they have, you know, the extra blanket there for you, the extra cookies that you may have ate on the counter. Like they make sure to take notes on everything that you did when you were there so that next time you come, everything's already ready and for you, like reading your mind, right? And it just comes down to keeping track, like, and listening.
And just being, having a system in your room. Like when a client is done with their service, for us, it's probably a take-home sheet on how to take care of their lashes if it's a new set. Giving them a little spoolie with a little cover on it in a baggie so it doesn't get extra dirty. Having all of that set up so they don't have to ask for a thing. And that's the goal, is that you don't want to have them ask for anything. Right. That's golden. People are asking for things all the time because they're just not valued.
Yeah.
Or they do feel value when that's not happening. And when you do that, even just the teeniest, tiniest thing, they're like, thank you.
Right. And like, some people won't ask, but they'll be thinking it. And then if it doesn't get solved, they'll go complain later. Right.
And that, you know what? You're 100% right. And so I do have conversations with my clients that I ask them questions that, for instance, I'll ask them a question like, you know, is there anything that you would like to change about your lashes? Well, most people will be like, no. Then I'd be like, would you like anything shorter, longer, thicker? Well, actually, you know, I do want this. And I was like, you just have to, you can't just ask one question and be like, oh, it's good.
Right, right. And this is what we call like whying someone down. Like, why is that important to you? Oh, well, why do you want this? Why? Like keep getting to the root of what someone actually came and sat there for. No matter how the conversation goes or what it's related to, like get to the root. Stop speaking surface level, right? Like get people what they want, right?
And I think people are trained for whatever reason to not be honest. And when you give them the opportunity and they trust you without being judged, you cannot judge someone when they're honest with you, even if it's your own work. Because you know what? Like you might have done the best set of lashes on someone and every professional would say, like, that's amazing. It might not just be what they wanted.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Could be
Don't take offense to it.
You know? I love that. Yeah, this is so good. Like we're going to have to come back on and get even deeper into this stuff. For the last couple minutes here, as we're wrapping up, first of all, I appreciate like you, this is so valuable. Like everything in here.
I love this.
This is great. This is awesome. And like, I've been taking a lot of notes. I hope anyone who's listening has been taking a lot of notes. And if they didn't, go back, write it all down because you're not going to remember it, right? You need
to
write it down. So as we kind of wrap up, I would love, you know, for people to, if they'd like go follow you, get access to you. And also I'd like to hear a little bit before we talk about where they can find you. Like, what is it that you're working on right now? And I might have cut out there a little bit. What are you?
You did a little bit, Mike.
What are you, like, the next phase for you? Like, what are you focused on at this point in your career and your life?
Since I moved to Tempe, I had the opportunity to be able to revise my schedule. What did that look like? What were important things to me? Family's number one. I miss having my hands on clients. So yeah. I wanted to see clients. And three, and it's always been there, and it's kind of crazy. I didn't realize like it was going to be part of what I'm doing, training. And it's so many things that we've talked about. People come up to me and be like, what do you do? How do you do it? Yes. From the way I apply lashes and problem solving. I'm really, really great at that. You can take any course that you want. I like to go, well, what if this happened? This is what yeah. you do. And so I'm creating a handbook and a manual, a training course. And I've always done it. And I've always done it for free.
Yeah.
I want to make a system. And that's what yeah. we're writing things down. I've had actually over the years, I've had like journals with little ideas in it, and I'm just putting it all together. So yeah. it's all in one space to be able to teach people.
I love
that. These technicians are amazing, but they can elevate their service by just doing certain things and making Absolutely. It easier for themselves. They don't have to work 100 hours to be successful.
Right. And that's the biggest fear of like, you know, actually charging and getting the income that you deserve is like, am I just going to have to work a ton of hours? Like, is that the only way? And no, there's a better way. Yes.
That was that light bulb moment of like, oh, I don't need permission to be able to do this. Like yes. I can just do it. And my brother was actually one who's like, Sirocco, you have been doing this for 15 years.
Exactly.
Oh, I guess I have, haven't I? Yeah. I just never knew it was a business. And it's like,
right.
you know, he's shaking his head and I'm like, yeah. oh. I would just do it because I love it.
When you're so close to it, sometimes like it takes someone to be like, what are you doing? Right? It's crazy stuff. But we are wrapping up here. This is so valuable. Thank you so much. Where can people get access to you? What's the best way to get in contact with you or even just follow what you're doing?
So anyone can go to my website, which is sirroccostout.com, and that's sirroccostout.com, and they can link to all of my social media, my website. There's a submission form actually at the bottom of every page. Ask a question. I love responding. Mm-hmm. And then with the social media, my biggest platform, in a lot of it's, of course, just images, is at Sirocco_lash on Instagram.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to plug that somewhere where people are listening or watching this later too, because I would love for them to get some more access to you and more of your tips. Cause like everything you just shared with me, it's even going to help me, you know, because this stuff applies to any industry, business or life. It's life, right?
Like, it is. And you know what? And I hope people who might be afraid to ask questions face forward contact. I would love yeah. some difficult questions to ask because you know what, like to answer, because you know, none of us have all the answers yeah. and work together. It gets that momentum started, you yeah. know, and helping one another. What's better than that?
Nothing. That's why we do what we do, to give mm-hmm. back and help others and, you know, build our own tribe while doing it. Right. Well, I love this so much. Thank you so much, Sirocco. This was perfect. Is there anything you'd like to leave anyone who's listening with as one token piece of advice before we head out for the day?
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try something, and don't be afraid that it doesn't go right the first time, because most of us, that's how it is. It just doesn't work out the first time, you know.
Don't give up. Do whatever it takes.
Don't give up and educate yourself. Yes. If you don't know how to do something, read about it, watch YouTube videos. A lot of people ask me and they'll say, well, you can do everything. No, I don't. I don't know how to do everything.
Right.
But I do watch videos on how to do everything, and I'll try it.
Yeah. I mean, plant those seeds, right? And you never know when they'll be valuable for you.
Listen to that YouTube little thing. It talks yes. about that. Just not being afraid and just trying it.
Absolutely.
You'll learn something, and it's just amazing.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. This was awesome. Like I said, everyone who's listening, go and follow Sirocco anywhere you can. Get on her website, get on her social presence, and we'll definitely, I hope, be doing some stuff in the future, because it sounds like we're both on to some pretty big stuff and wanting to give back. So thank you so much, Sirocco. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to all you Real Beauty Bosses soon.